welcome to On The Box. We are the Geek Show's dedicated show to all things TV. I'm Andrew, and today I am joined by Rob. Say hello, Rob.
Say hello, Rob.
Well then, I've trained him well.
Did I do that right?
No, you actually completely messed it up. I'm disappointed, Rob.
Are you disappointed, Rob, now?
Yes, I am disappointed.
Yes, I won.
What Rob doesn't realise is that actually we are all just figments of your imagination. So I am literally just the embodiment of your disappointment.
So basically when it comes to me editing this show, I will just be hearing me and lots of silence.
Yes. That's what actually everyone who listens to it hears.
Just me and lots of silence?
Just you and lots of silence.
Oh, God. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again. No. Enough of the Simon and Garfunkel. Hello, Andrew. How are you doing? How was Spain?
Spain was very nice indeed. Got some sun. Went to Granada and Gibraltar. Saw monkeys. It was awesome.
Hang on. You went to Granada or Grenada?
Granada.
Granada?
Yeah. That's what they call it.
It's just, when people say Granada, I get confused because for me, Granada was like, you know, the Ford, whatever it was. And then there was Granada TV from like Yorkshire. So I get really confused when people say Granada. That's
yes,
why I
Granada is actually just like Yorkshire and everyone drives around in Ford Granadas.
That's basically in my head what it is. And so that's why I pronounce it Grenada.
Lots of Spanish men in flat caps.
Yes. Going war. Enough of the casual racism.
Yes, Javier must go to mine now.
Yes. Right, so, yes, Spain was good then.
Spain was very good.
And so, yeah. Andy is also with us, but...
Sort of.
Andy is ill, so he's here in spirit and, you know, also in physical presence, just not in voice.
Which is kind of inconvenient when you're doing a radio show.
Yeah, he's just kind of gyrating in front of us, and we're not sure why. I think he's trying to use sign language of some sort. What could he be saying, Andrew?
I don't. Well, hey, there's no need for that, Andy. That was completely uncalled for.
Yes. Anyway, let's just leave gyrating and Andy just to one side and focus on the news. Right. Shall we start off with... let's get this out of the way. You know the ongoing saga at the BBC?
Yes. I think everyone knows the ongoing saga at the BBC.
Yeah. Well, the government report actually makes a very, very big distinction between what it considers The Voice to be and what it considers something like Strictly to be. See, here's the thing. In the government report, it actually says that Strictly Come Dancing is more beneficial to the BBC and to the British public than The Voice, because BBC actually imported The Voice from overseas. It's a show developed by a different broadcaster, and it cost them, I think it was $20 million. To bring in, whereas Strictly is a format that's basically evolved from the old Come Dancing from like the 80s, 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and has become Strictly Come Dancing now. And it's a format that has been developed in-house by the BBC and exported all over the world for, you know, millions.
Yeah, so it's making them much more than it's costing them.
But the thing is, when you think about it, BBC has like 80 years of TV history. How many other shows does the BBC have in its archives that it could just basically say, okay, we think this could work now if we do it in this way?
Yeah, well, they I'm excited hold for the, rights like, of the gritty CGI reboot of Muffin the Mule.
Well, they did bring back Bill and Ben, didn't they?
They did bring back Bill and Ben.
So don't write that off.
No, I joke, but like that is entirely likely.
Yeah, you make light of it now, but it is a possibility. I would not write that off at all.
Muffin's just the one good cop left in this dirty world.
Yes.
Damn it, Muffin, you're a loose cannon, but I get results.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, there is a distinction, and I think the BBC needs to focus more on what it has already you know, redevelop some of the old stuff, take some of the old properties and make them shiny and new like they did with Strictly.
Yeah, yeah, because there's got to be loads of stuff they can do that with.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if they make a successful format, you know, if they had a successful format that worked once, because Come Dancing was really popular, MasterChef was not really that popular, but it ran for years. But now MasterChef is one of the big hitters on the BBC.
Yeah, because like they took it and they revamped it.
Yeah, Top Gear was never that popular, and then it suddenly became a big hitter on the BBC.
Oh yeah, well, Top Gear is like the success story, isn't it?
Well, it's not the only one. I mean, the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah,
is,
but I mean, Top Gear was like the first, like probably still the biggest one they've done, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they've tried revamping Top of the Pops repeatedly, but it's just not going to work. I don't think Top of the Pops can work in this day and age unless BBC do it in a very canny way. There is a way they can revamp Top of the Pops, right, and bring it back. And that is by basically doing a public vote.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
See, this is the thing. Nobody actually does, everyone does a chart based on sales. But how about doing a Top of the Pops based on popularity? Nobody's ever done it.
Yeah, that could be.
Not as a TV show. And you basically feature the artists. You basically put out the poll in kind of an X Factor style. But instead of being a talent show or something like that, because then you start getting artists from left field, you know, who more you probably might not have heard of. So instead of doing a chart based on sales, it's a chart based on what people actually listen to. So you can get some of the old fantastic music in as well. You might, you know, Andy might be able to get some of his Status Quo in there. Or, you know, ZZ Top or whatever he's listening to these days. You know, you and your Eurythmics and your old man music, you. Ultravox, that was it. I was trying to remember the name of the band. I was just going through. I'm sure it's something from the
80s. If I say every band from the 80s, eventually I'll hit the right one.
Yes, basically.
Okay, well, which is, I'm signing the petition now. Get Japanese power metal on Top of the Pops.
You never know. The anime fans are pretty big these days. They might vote for it. The thing is, nobody does a show like that. I don't know of any show where you have a music show that's based on popularity. We thought of it here first. If you nick our idea, I'm going to sue you. It belongs to us. It belongs to the Geek Show.
But we will happily take a very large cash payment for it.
Yes, we will. So there. This is our idea. We have it all planned out already, and you can't prove that we haven't. But yeah, I think that would be a really good way of doing it. And basically, you get people to vote on tracks. Basically, you just say, okay, right, we want you guys to shortlist. We want you guys to select 10 tracks that we'll play during this hour, right? And what we'll do, we'll basically go through each of them, and the 10 tracks with the most votes are what gets played.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. Something would require like quite a massive undertaking, though.
It is quite a massive undertaking initially, but this is the thing. This is why we have computers.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forget sometimes that we're not like in the 1950s, and there's not like a man with an abacus going like, duh, just moving the things across.
Exactly. You know, and literally all they do, you basically give them a simple database form, and they basically, or an Excel spreadsheet form, or something like that. Then they just basically put in, hey, these are my 10 tracks. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They basically plug that information in on like a website somewhere, and you say, right, okay, and you basically automatically collate the results. These are the 10 tracks that have the most numbers. You know, but then after those 10 tracks, you basically can start shortlisting tracks from whatever's left. Do you see?
Yeah, I like that. I would like definitely love a show like that.
So, yeah, that's an option for Top of the Pops. It could work. So then you don't have, like, the big number one type thing. Well, actually, you do. You could say this week's most popular song is this.
Yeah, like, that's what you could play, like, at the end of the show.
Yeah, and you basically, because the big countdown is always 10 to 1, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so you can go through the rest of them. Because you can do the top 40, but you do the top 40 by popularity. So you basically do, you know, this is at number 40, this is at number 30, and then you basically, you can chop and change. So as more people get used to it and more people are voting things up and voting things down, you know, because all you need to do is basically just from that, you basically have your initial chart and you basically have like a little thumb up, thumb down thing like they have on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and basically you there'll be some maths involved, but you can basically have a more moving chart that flows and, you know, evolves over time. You basically have that and people can see it and say, right, I think this song's great. I'm going to vote it up.
Yeah, yeah. It's like basically you're finding out like what the nation's favorite song is.
Basically, yeah. So, yeah, there's an idea. It's our idea.
Yes, original idea, do not steal.
Yes. Anyway, moving on to MTV, sticking with the music for a little bit. Right.
Wow. Tangentially related to music.
Well, this is tangentially related and totally unrelated to music, even though it's on MTV, which is music television. But they don't do much music these days. Right.
That makes the name a bit redundant.
MTV has some cracking programming. Yeah. Sorry. I honestly can't say that with a straight face. MTV has some programming.
It certainly shows things on a television.
Yes, it does. And the things it shows on the television are sometimes palatable, but most of the time not, because it's catering to a very specific audience.
We're all incredibly dumb.
I was going to say, you know, they just have trouble with their knuckles.
Oh, yes, they keep bumping against the floor.
Yes. Jersey Shore. You've heard of Jersey Shore, yeah?
I have heard of Jersey Shore.
You've heard of Geordie Shore.
I've even seen a Geordie Shore. It's
sitting on the dock of the bay.
So sad.
watching the ships go out, then come in again. I forgot what that's off. Wasn't that Vic Reeves?
Yes, I feel like it could be Vic Reeves.
Because I was trying to remember what was that off. I'm pretty sure it was Vic Reeves' Big Night Out, because I always love that bit, sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the ships go out and then come in again.
See, if that was actual Geordie Shore, I would watch that.
Yes, I would. But yeah, Geordie Shore, and they've got this Judge Geordie now, which is one of the lasses from Geordie Shore doing some judge thingy, although she's not an actual judge. As in
no,
the law.
No, she has no qualifications.
No, and she doesn't have a wig either. So, although it might be a wig, we're not sure. With all that hair
product.
She
looks like she has like hair extensions, so that's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Sorry, the way your hands were placed when you said hair extensions had me worried about what kind of hair extensions she had. Looks like she has hair extensions. I'm not even going to explain that
one. Oh, I'm so glad radio is not a visual medium.
Yeah, I want you all to just imagine where Andrew's hands could possibly have been placed when he was talking about hair extensions. I'm just going to leave it at that. Use your imagination.
I'm going to get lots of lawsuits now, aren't I?
Yes. So, yeah, where do you think MTV could go next for their show?
Nowhere. They could just stop. They could stop, Rob, and never make a terrible other Shaw program.
But they're not going to.
No, they're not going to.
No, they're going to go somewhere else. I'll give you three guesses.
The moon.
No. Even though the moon has the Sea of Tranquility.
Yes. Atlantis.
No, I think Aquaman or Namor, whoever you want to call, whoever's in charge, depending on which universe you're in, they'd have something to say about it. Well, if it's Aquaman,
Aquaman's going to send like a very annoyed trout or something to go away.
Aquaman is just going to stand there with like an underwater shotgun, going, "Get off my land!" Just like Old Man Logan. I honestly think Old Man Logan is the weird old fellow who lives at the edge of town and tells everyone to get off his land. Damn kids these days.
It's just like, instead of his claws, he just like has a pitchfork now.
Yes, I'm the best at what I do, and what I do these days is arthritis
and complain about the good old days.
Yes, bingo. No, the best at what I do now is bingo. Old Man Logan. Even pensioners need heroes. Oh, enough of that. So, not Atlantis, not the moon.
I'm going to have to give up then, because my third guess would be Ibiza, but that would be awful, Rob. No, that would be a horrible travesty into humankind, and no one would want that.
Well, that's a shame, because you are right.
I know I'm right. I wish I wasn't.
The power of the internet compels you. It's the new exorcism ritual.
See, so, now I'm just imagining, like, the girl from The Exorcist, but with just a massive grumpy cat face on.
Yes. So, MTV are doing the new Ibiza show. And, oh, my God, if it's anything like Geordie Shore or Jersey Shore, it's going to suck.
Oh, don't worry, Rob. It'll be 1,000 times worse.
Well, we've all seen things like, you know, Sun, Sex, or Sea, and Suspicious Parents, or whatever it's called. You know, it's something to do with Suspicious Parents.
Yeah, it's basically just look at the dregs of humanity and laugh, but also weep.
Yes. Oh, no, watch their parents weep in sorrow at just how wrong they've raised their child. Which military is, discipline. That's what you need. Military discipline.
That's like the one show I can actually get behind, because it is like taking parents and going, look how badly you have failed as a parent.
Yes, look how much you suck as a parent. Anyway, yes. So, Ibiza show. It's going to be the dregs of humanity on a show.
All of them just so very drunk.
Isn't Jersey Shore and Geordie Shore something like Made in Chelsea, where it's kind of a real acting kind of thing?
Well, yeah, it's basically like the anti-Made in Chelsea.
Yeah. So Ibiza Shore is going to be the anti-Made in Chelsea.
Sort of. Well, no, like, the problem with Made in Chelsea is I think it's also heavily scripted.
That's what I mean. But, Made in Chelsea is heavily scripted.
Yeah, but no, I think the thing with like Geordie Shore and stuff is that like they're all just so constantly drunk they can't really do anything to a script.
So it's Real Housewives of Alabama.
Yes, it's more like that.
That's not to say that people in Alabama drink a lot.
Yes, that's like also saying not everyone in Alabama is a fantastic racist.
I've seen Forrest Gump. Forrest Grump? Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump gets, like, possessed by the spirit of Grumpy Cat as well.
No. It's Grumpy the Dwarf. My mama said, life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I said, shut up, mama. Give me some chicken pot pie. That's a really, really bad...
that is.
Alabama accent. Just I've got like the two Andrews here on either side just sniggering away while I just made a total fool of myself.
Why, Rob? Why are we antagonizing the state with all the guns that isn't Texas?
Yeah, there is that. Sorry, Alabama. We won't make fun of your state flag. Anyway,
let's
moving
make fun
back
of like Oregon or something.
Utah? No, not Utah. Iowa.
Yes, Iowa.
Iowa.
Iowa wouldn't, like, come shoot us with shotguns.
No, because there's nothing in Iowa except just a few farmers and Kevin Costner trying to do Field of Dreams 2. the sequel. If you build it bigger, more will come. Yeah, he can't just do a baseball field now. He has to do an entire stadium.
Yes. So you're making it sound too good, Rob.
No. It's a different one. Now he's been possessed by the spirit of George Best, and he has to
build a football stadium.
It could work. Anyway,
just like beer dispensers attached to every single seat.
Yeah, basically. And you got Forrest Whitaker, starring Forrest Whitaker as Pelé.
Oh, God.
Andy to my right is dying slowly here. He's actually gasping for breath.
You've actually killed him. Well, at least that stopped the gyrating.
Right, okay. Ibiza Show. Are you going to watch it or not?
I might give this one a miss, Rob.
I think that's a very wise choice. Right, shall we move on? The final series of Peep Show is coming.
Yes, it is actually going to get made.
And David Mitchell has promised to have a shave before filming.
Which, yeah, because the giant, strange David Mitchell hobo beard does not work for the character. Doesn't really work for David Mitchell either, if I'm being honest.
It doesn't, but I just think he's been listening to a bit too much ZZ Top.
Yes, it's just, you actually don't have to grow a beard when you listen to that much ZZ Top. It just appears one day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he drove by at some point and, you know, he had his windows open and all I heard from inside was, Viva Las Vegas, but not the Elvis, it was ZZ Top version.
Well, yes, I assume that was where you were going with that.
Yes. And then there's the other one. You know, give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. ZZ Top. It's supposed to be like a metal band. You're supposed to be playing like rock. So why are you only playing like power ballads? Because we're now called Bon Jovi.
Yes, ZZ Top is actually just Bon Jovi all wearing fake beards.
Yes, it is. It might be. We don't know. We don't know what's under the hat. I mean, it's a giant beard with a hat and glasses.
Exactly. Like, no one actually knows what ZZ Top look like.
That's my point. I mean, it's like Daft Punk. We don't know who Daft Punk is. It'd be hilarious if Daft Punk took off their helmets and it was actually Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. Because everybody would go, no! You could just see, like, all of the Daft Punk fans dying a little inside if that was the case.
Well, I would have to just, like, burn my albums.
It'd be hilarious. Oh, no. Even better, one of them takes his helmet off and it's Robin Thicke.
Oh, that's just cruel. No, even better, one of them takes the helmet off. And it's the guy from ZZ Top, and then he pulls the fake beard and hat off, and then it's Robin Thicke.
I think the only thing that would cap that is if they took their helmets off, and it was actually George Osborne and David Cameron. The look on Andy's face right now needed to be photoed and put on the internet. Just that expression on your face was priceless, Andy. It looked like you'd just stepped in something that kind of smelled, and you're just trying to figure out exactly what you'd stepped in without actually looking at it, just by the smell. You know, that quizzical, yes. Quizzical kind of...
It's the curious that, yet also slightly horrified.
Yeah, that one. Anyway, yes, Peep Show is returning. We're tangenting quite hard today, aren't we?
We are. We are not staying on topic.
Peep Show is returning. David Mitchell's beard will be removed. I'm happy about this. I'm happy that it's coming back, but I'm also happy about the fact that they've said this is the last ever Peep Show.
Yeah, yeah. They're not just going to keep pushing it until it's not funny anymore.
Which I'm glad about. It makes a lot of sense to kill it while it's a good thing, rather than let it linger on, just like did with the Red Dwarf. They kept, you know, I mean, Series 10 of Red Dwarf wasn't that great. I don't know why people want to keep bringing back something that's very much a product of its time and doesn't quite work in this age that we live in now.
Yeah, well, I think it's people just thinking, I liked this at one point. Therefore, if you bring it back, it will be exactly the same as when I liked it.
Well, the thing is, it's exactly the same as if Rick Mayall and Ed Edmondson brought back Bottom, but brought it back now, if, you know, Rick Mayall was still alive. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
it was a product of its time. It's like The Young Ones was a product of its time.
Those
you couldn't do the wrong
would not
young
work
ones
at all today.
You know? Fawlty Towers, product of its time. Couldn't work today because nobody really does the whole B&B thing anymore.
Well, I think, was it a couple of years ago they tried to do that? Was it Still Open All Hours?
Yeah, with David Jason.
Yeah, it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. Number one, you didn't have Ronnie Barker in. He was a comedy genius.
Yeah, which was like a huge part of it as well.
Yeah, but Ronnie Barker was basically one of the greatest comedy geniuses we've ever created. Ronnie Barker is one of those people who comes along once in a lifetime. I mean, okay, we were lucky enough right? We were very lucky in this country in terms of comedy, because we had at one time, you know, at one, at, you know, for a period of time, for several, for a couple of decades, in fact, we had Ronnie Barker, we had Eric Markham, because he was the brains between, behind Markham and Wise. We had Ronnie Barker, we had Eric Markham, we had Spike Milligan, we had Peter Sellers, we had, we had Harry Cheekham, and who was the other one from the Goons? Spike Milligan, Harry Seacombe. And,
oh, Bill Oddie was the other one, wasn't he?
No, no, that's the Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
The Goons. You know, Spike Milligan, Harry Seacombe, and I've forgotten the other one. Yeah, was it Hancock? Tony Hancock?
Yes, it was Tony Hancock.
Yeah, we had Tony Hancock. You know, we had what's his name? You know, Mr. Grimsdale. Not George Formby, the other one. Forgotten his name. Do you remember his name, Andy? The one very slapstick comedy. Norman Wisdom. That was it.
Yeah,
we had Norman Wisdom. You know, we had all of these great comic talents from like the 60s. You know, from like the early 60s through to the early 80s, early to mid 80s, and we had some amazing just comedy coming out from that period. Dad's Army, Allo Allo, Fawlty Towers, you know, the Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah, well, basically the reason stuff like UK TV Gold is still going.
Yeah, because people don't get tired of that stuff.
Because they are timeless.
You know, we had some amazing comic talent, and these days, what have we got? Okay, we have stuff like Peep Show, but would you ever say that David Mitchell or What's-His-Face who does it with him is on the level of, say, Ronnie Barker?
Oh, no, I think they're probably my favourite comedians of kind of this age, but they're definitely not on that level.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's nothing against them. It's just, like, Ronnie Barker and that lot, they were so amazing.
I mean, the Four Candles sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's based on such a simple premise as well.
Yeah. And that one where from the two, because Ronnie Corbett, he's no slouch when it comes to the comedy himself. He's really good at the comedy himself as well. Really, really sly with the comedy though. But that sketch that they did where they're doing the entire conversation is just letters from the alphabet.
Oh yeah, when they're in the restaurant.
Yeah, and it was just letters from the
alphabet.
Yeah. Yeah, M and X. Yeah, and I was just like, that's genius. I've never seen that and done by anybody in any kind of comedy sketch show ever. It takes somebody who's out there, you know, way, way outside the box to think of stuff like that. But yeah. Anyway, shall we quit there and move on?
Yes, let's try and keep like vaguely on the topic.
Yes. Do you want to be Britain's next top model?
I clearly already am, Rob.
Yes. Because Britain's Next Top Model is making a comeback, but not on BBC or ITV or Channel 4, Channel 5 or anything like that. Not even on Sky. On Lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is sad.
And the thing is, they don't know if Danny Minogue, Elle Macpherson or Tyson Beckford are going to be returning
show. Oh, God, no, of course they're not. It's on Lifetime.
Yeah, I know.
They're not going to get someone who's, like, actually famous.
Does anybody actually watch Lifetime?
I don't know. Surely someone must, because it's, like, still in business. But
No. I put Lifetime in the same category as, like, Propeller TV. And Propeller TV is basically, like, you know, it's mainly, like, Chinese programming. Like, I don't understand what's going on. They have this comedy. Little cartoon series on Propeller TV, which is all about the sayings of Confucius. And I don't know what's going on at all. But
so
I would rather watch
it in
that.
Chinese.
Yeah, it is.
Oh wow!
And it's a very badly made cartoon in Chinese. But I would rather watch that than watch Britain's Next Top Model.
See, I actually legitimately want to see that now. Just like the rubbish Confucius saying Chinese.
Basically, yeah. Now, the other thing that gets me is, you know, they have a house that they keep all these models in. It's kind of a glorified cage, so they can't escape. You know, they feed them peanuts every now and then. that house. Where would you put that house in this country?
I assume they're just going to, like, dig a hole somewhere.
That isn't that going to be at risk of, like, paparazzi, stalkers, casual voyeurs, people with drones?
Yeah, because we're not a big country. There's not really anywhere that secluded you could shove it.
You could put it on Bodmin Moor, dress them all up as, like, you know, Black Panthers, and you say, the beasts of Bodmin Moor have returned.
That is what they should do.
Britain's next beast of Bodmin Moor.
Actually, can we now just, like, change the show so that they do that, and then, like, they just shove some, like, random tourists on the moors? Like, don't tell them anything about it until they see, like, the model beasts.
Just have the models dressed in, like, rubber suits, like, out of some like, 1960s Godzilla movie.
Yes. It's like, just, oh no, it's around. Godzilla.
Just
oh no.
Around Bodmin Moor going, roar!
And then, like, they see this weird skeleton monster, but oh no, wait, that's just one of the models who hasn't put their costume on yet.
No, but don't forget, they have to catwalk while they're doing this.
It's taken until today to realise that all I want in life is to see Godzilla sashay.
I'm just having, like, weird mental images now. I think we need to stop this discussion here before it goes any further. So Britain's Next Top Model is going to return. We hope it has more Godzilla. We actually want that to be the tagline, I think, now with added Godzilla.
To be fair, I don't think there's any show that, like, I wouldn't watch if it had more Godzilla.
No, there is nothing in life that is not improved by just having those words on. You know, Rice Krispies, now with added Godzilla.
The shipping forecast, now with added Godzilla.
Yes. What was it? Oxford English Dictionary, now with added Godzilla. Scrabble, now with added Godzilla. What's the most boring game you can think of? I know, backgammon, now with added Godzilla. An ember in the ashes, now with added Godzilla.
Oh my god, I would love that.
We have an episode title. Now with added Godzilla, I think we found an episode title. Moving on to what's next. Xena Warrior Princess.
Yes, I'm excited about this news.
Well, we mentioned this the other week, that Lucy Lawless wanted to bring Xena back.
But lots of people all the time say, oh yeah, I want to bring something back.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Xena and her, are her and Gabrielle in a relationship or not relationship, you know?
Yeah, it's like, we need a definitive answer.
Yes, we need to know, are you or aren't you? Because sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. You say, you know, you stay, you go, you stay, you go. Gabrielle's a nice girl. She deserves an answer.
Exactly. I mean, seriously, Xena Warrior Princess, 12-year-old me couldn't handle this.
I forgot you were 12. Yeah. Thing is, Gabrielle was just as bad. Like, okay, so is this now an open relationship? Are you in a relationship? What's going on? I don't know. Inquiring.
I think sometimes Hercules would show up and just make things even more confusing.
Yeah, because then you'd have, like, Lucy Lawless, or Xena, as she was known, and Gabrielle. I've forgotten the actress's name.
No, those are actually their actual names. They're just called Xena and Gabrielle.
Yeah, you'd have Xena and Gabrielle kind of going, yeah, we're kind of together, but we'd turn for you, Hercules. And Kevin Sorbo's going, and then he has to go back to his own show, at which point he goes, disappointed! You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do know exactly what you're talking about.
So, Lucy Lawless, complete with white teeth, is... It's just this picture of her. It's
just kinda, they are spotless.
Just kind of... I'm not sure what to be more afraid of, the swords or the teeth. in that one. Yes, she has come, she has pearly whites, and all of them seem to be there in their places. So, yes, she is in talks currently with NBC. There are talks currently underway to create a new version of the 1990s adventure series to air at some point in 2016. This is according to the Hollywood Reporter. Lucy Lawless is on board as producer and is also expected to have some kind of an on-screen presence along with a young female lead. So they're not putting her in the role of Xena, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's probably a bit too old to be Xena now.
Yeah. The actress is partnering to produce the possible Xena with her husband, Robert Tappert, and Sam Raimi, the team behind her upcoming series, Ash vs. the Evil Dead, which I am looking forward to.
Yes, because that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, Lawless publicly talked, rallied for a revival of the property during a visit to Comic-Con International a couple of weeks ago, which we mentioned on a previous show. I am happy about this. I do not think that they should, that on the back of this, they should resurrect Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. I don't think that should happen.
Oh, no, no. That is what... Because I feel like Xena, they could work it into, like, a slightly more serious series for kind of today's audience, but Hercules, no.
Well, I mean, the whole idea of Xena was that she was a killer. She was a dyed-in-the-wool killer. You know, that was what she was. She was basically a complete monster before she was given a chance to redeem her soul. That was the whole idea of her, you know, of Xena's journey with Gabrielle, was that, you know, she was supposed to become a better human, supposed to become like a hero.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There were definitely like some quite dark themes hidden beneath like all that 90s cheese.
Yes, and there was a lot of cheese.
So much cheese.
So much, yeah, and most of it was continental.
Lots and lots of continental cheese.
And some of it was full of holes. So, yes, moving on to Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, this... I'm not sure if I'm ready for this story yet, Rob. I'm still confused by it.
Shall we come back to it, then?
We will.
Okay, The Last Starfighter.
Yes, this is more solid ground.
Right, The Last Starfighter, when it came out, it was the first CG movie to heavily use CG as part of the movie. You know, it did a lot of CG stuff in the movie, more so than any other movie at that point, because it was 1984 and CG was still a very new thing, very, very new. And the processing power of computers, basically, you remember the first Transformers movie where they said, you know, they could only have Optimus Prime on screen for a certain amount of time because it was running up the production budget like nobody's business?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Last Starfighter was kind of like that. The CG usage was running up the production budget like nobody's business. It's getting a TV series, which is basically all about kind of, the alien who comes to Earth to recruit the kid?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's kind of like a space police type thing. So not Power Rangers, Space Patrol, whatever it's called, but more kind of Last Starfighter, Galactic Patrol, keeping peace in the galaxy kind of thing. But it's also going to include bits of the series where the screen expands to fit virtual reality goggles. So you could watch this through your Oculus Rift or something like that. And at certain points, it would be as if you were, say, in the cockpit of a starfighter or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think if this was any other show, I'd probably say, no, this sounds like just a silly gimmick. But I think if there's one show... like, I think could do with, like, some kind of crazy gimmick, it's The Last Starfighter.
Well, that's what made it, though. It was all about the crazy gimmicks. The Last Starfighter was literally all about the crazy gimmicks. I mean, even in the movie, what was that weapon called? Death Blossom or something like that they had? Where it's just kind of, yes, we have, like, we're totally surrounded, but we have an ace up our sleeve. Press the button now.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden the ship goes into auto mode and shoots down everything that's in range, but then runs out of power, which is the downside to it.
Yeah, but which is why we can't just do that immediately.
Yeah. So, yeah, it did. It was all about the gimmick. It was literally all about the gimmick. And I think that I'm curious as to how this is going to pan out. I don't think it's enough to break the series. I think that it's with them just saying this is just an additional feature. We're not basically saying this is the entire series. It's not all going to be a VR series.
Yeah, yeah. Just as long as it doesn't do like how you get some 3D movies who are really obnoxious with their 3D.
Yeah. I think they're going down the right route with this. They're basically saying some scenes, if you're watching this through 3D with, you know, virtual VR goggles, you know, you'll notice that some scenes have more to them.
Just something that makes a nice extra bonus for people actually with the goggles.
Basically, yeah. Right, moving on, Hotel Transylvania, the CG movie.
Yes, that was...
And its sequel.
Kind of okay, I guess. Yes,
it wasn't Paranorman by any measure. But Hotel Transylvania is getting a animated TV series, which is going to premiere in 2017. Very unusual move. Not sure why they're actually doing that.
Yeah, yeah, it seems like quite an old property now to make a TV series of.
It doesn't make sense to make a TV series of it.
No, I guess I can kind of see it in like an episodic format of like different things arriving at the hotel for an episode, but...
Yeah, but then it kind of goes down the Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends route, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it does a bit.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to the final story before we get into what we've been watching. The final story is Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, I can.
Are you ready for this now?
I can. I've prepared myself mentally.
Sigourney Weaver is going to be making a guest appearance on a UK drama series. Do you know what it is?
Well, surely it must be something massive and big budget, like Sherlock.
No, and it's not Downton Abbey either. And it's not Top of the Pops. It's not A Question of Sport. It's not Mock the Week. It is. That legendary UK drama series.
That staple of our country.
Yes, it's the thing that we are most known for.
It's the backbone of our nation.
Yeah, it defines what it means to be English. It is Doc Martin.
Doc Martin. How?
Sigourney Weaver is going to be on a TV series with Martin Clunes. Somebody looked out. And I don't think it was her.
No.
I don't understand how this weird kind of... It's like the planets have misaligned in some way.
No, so see, the only way that like this makes any sense is if like Doc Martin's called out to a patient and like they have weird stomach pains and he has no idea what it is until Sigourney Weaver shows up and like the alien just bursts out the guy's chest.
Well, here's the thing, right? The surprising pair, according to this article, were spotted filming the seventh series outside the pharmacy with many locals looking on. Weaver was seen wearing a fisherman's hat and a long-lensed camera before entering the pharmacy with Clune's titular character, right?
Yes, the pharmacy where they shall buy the power loader.
Yes. Previous guest stars on Doc Martin include Celia Imrie, Roger Lloyd-Pack, Chris O'Dowd, and Matthew Horn. Now, none of those people.
Yes, those names
is a household
to
name.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, none of those people have the star power of Sigourney Weaver. Let me put it this way: if Sigourney Weaver met Simon Cowell, he would be. If she went into Ripley mode, he would be on the floor crying.
Please say she's going on X Factor after Doc Martin, then.
I mean, you know, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie, the one with the alien? Paul.
Paul, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was the big bad in Paul, wasn't she?
Yes, she was, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was the big bad, and they had, I've forgotten his name. The one who from Arrested Development.
Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman, yeah. He was, you thought he was the big bad, but he wasn't. He's like... I do like Jason Bateman.
Yes. Also, he seems to be in so many things.
Yeah, but he's awesome in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Arrested Development. It's such a good series.
It is. It is definitely one of my favorite series, I think.
You need to watch Arrested Development, Andy. Anyway, let's move on to what have you been watching? So, Andrew, what have you been watching?
Well, I have been watching the kind of latest Marvel TV show, Agent Carter.
Any good?
Yeah, actually, it's really good. Like, I'm surprised because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been kind of okay.
I thought it sucked.
See, I feel like it sucked initially, then it got good, then it kind of backslid a bit in the second series.
And the whole thing with that little artifact thing, and then all of those patterns, and I'm like, well, okay, yeah, I kind of get what you're trying to do, but it also doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, Chewbacca living with the Ewoks.
Which, again, is like kind of something I would love to see. It's like him getting angry because he can't fit through all the Ewok doors.
Please, Marvel, put this in somewhere. Into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fit that reference in somewhere, because that would be amazing. That's what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is missing, is the meta stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is too hell-bent on being a spy thing. Being like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. or the Saint or something like that.
I think it's not... I think its main problem is it tries to tie too much into what Marvel are doing.
But that's the thing. Instead of tying so much into what Marvel are doing at the moment, tie it into more than what Marvel is doing.
Okay, yeah. So either like make it just massively self-referential or just like let it be its own kind of spy-type program.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that works.
And you know what DC are doing with Arrow and The Flash? And they keep bringing in different characters. You know, and by using those different characters, they're expanding their universe by using those different characters. Marvel need to do that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and with Agent Carter. They need to do it with Agent Carter and have like some of the older heroes appearing in Agent Carter.
See, that could be... To be honest, I don't think Agent Carter needs it as much. Because Agent Carter... You can say it like really stand on its own 2 feet well, just like as this really cool sort of 1940s set spy thriller.
All right, so they actually have gone down the solid spy route with it.
Yeah, it's a lot less like there kind of is a bit of sort of science fictioniness to it, in that she's chasing after like a fictional explosive thing that's supposed to be really powerful.
Not a cosmic cube, then?
No, not a cosmic cube. But no, it's definitely like a lot more grounded, because obviously in like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there wasn't that much superhero stuff before like the modern day. So I think that's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
And also it's fantastic because the character of Agent Carter, she's such a good character in this. She's still played by Hayley Atwell.
All right.
Which definitely helps. And the idea is it's now set in 1946. It's kind of after World War II is finished. And she now works for the Strategic Scientific Reserve, which is like an American Secret Service thing. But they all treat her like garbage because they basically, in everyone's mind, she's just Captain America's girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's like she can just go sit in the corner and do the paperwork while the real men go off and have adventures. It's like, so it's really interesting because it's like that was such a prevalent attitude at the time that like all the men have come back from the war. It's like, oh, hey, women, thanks for, like, taking over all our jobs while we're away, but, yeah, kind of get back in the kitchen now and we'll take over again. So it's really interesting, like, to see how to fight against those attitudes as well.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like that.
And she teams up with Edwin Jarvis, who's, like, Howard Stark's butler.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, like, he's amazing. Like, in the first episode, he's like, yes, I'll help you up until, like, about 10 o'clock at night, because that is when me and Mrs. Jarvis go to bed.
I like that.
Like, in episode 2, she rings it up. It's like, Jarvis, like, they know we were at this place where there's an explosion. You need to get rid of the car. It's like, oh, okay, I'll do it in about 30 minutes. I've just got some linens in.
I like that. I think I'm going to have to sit down and watch
this. Yeah, you are.
I've heard a lot of good things about Agent Carter, but I've been waiting to hear what someone has to say about it. That, you know, that's right in front of me. That way, if I don't like it, I can basically kick them.
Basically, so I'm becoming the scapegoat if you don't like Agent Carter.
I don't think I'm going to dislike it.
No, I think you will definitely like it.
Basically, as long as it's better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which it is.
I'm happy. Yeah, Okay, so Agent Carter, you'd recommend then?
Oh, definitely.
Right, fantastic. Right, for my part, I have been watching Empire. Now, I've been quite curious about this one because, you know, Channel 4 made a bit of a play of bringing this to UK screens. It's Terrence Howard who's playing the lead role. He's playing the role of Lucius Lyon. And, you know, Lucius Lyon made his career with music and has built this empire of music. But now he is looking for someone to take over. And he's got, like, I think it's three sons. There's the mad one, there's the hardworking one, and then there's the one who is very naive.
That's interesting. So it almost sounds like kind of a King Lear type scenario.
The weird thing is, it does have elements of King Lear in there. Because, you know, his wife, the mother of his kids, she makes a reappearance and makes a play for the business because she apparently part owns the business, but he has now moved on from her and, you know, has his own, has a new relationship. You know, there's people being killed, there's people being, you know, there's people, there's power players left, right and center. It's very much like kind of a Shakespearean play and a Greek tragedy all rolled into one, but set in kind of the modern American music industry.
Yeah, because that's almost kind of like what we have now instead of kind of the old kings and stuff.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, it works. It really works. The writers have put a lot of effort and a lot of thought into not just the dialogue and not just the way that events unfold, but also the type of music that is there, because a lot of these songs are actually written specifically for the show. Yeah, they do reference some songs that are basically real world stuff because they're trying to tie it into the real world. But it comes back to this idea of world building that we were talking about on the Geek Show, yesterday. This whole idea of world building is that every story needs a place to happen, and what they've done, they basically created this little sectioned off area of the real world and said, right, this is where all of this story is happening. This music media company, you know, this is his empire. This is what he's built. This is what Lucius Lyon has built. But the problem is, he risks everything by passing it on to one of his sons, but he also risks everything by not doing any, by keeping hold of it himself, because he has skeletons in his closet that are slowly coming out to play. Really, really well acted most of the time. There are a couple of bits where you just kind of, no. Some of them are just a bit overacting. You know, Taraji Henson is sometimes really forces the issue. Tri Byers, he is pretty good, but his character is fairly stoic as well. You know, Terrence Howard is definitely
really stoic.
The thing is, Terrence Howard is easily the best of the actors in this. He really carries this show. And that's the one downside to it, is that you look at it and you just see that the other actors and actresses are good, but he is kind of, you know, he's on another level when it comes to acting. And it really shows. But the strange thing? And this is really weird. This is one of the reasons why I actually couldn't stop watching it. Because his acting is on another level to everybody else's, it actually works with the show.
Oh, yeah, that reinforces the idea of him, like, being the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, it really works with the rest of the show because, you see, everybody else is just not as good as him, you know? And so you think, well, hang on, if everybody else is not as good as him, and he can see that everybody else is not as good as him, it really reinforces this whole idea that, you know, he is risking things, and that his children aren't up to scratch, that nobody else is actually meeting his standards, nobody else is approaching his level.
So do you think that might be, like, why they deliberately got, like, a big-name Hollywood actor to do this role?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I've been watching this, and I think Terrence Howard is the perfect choice for this. I don't think... See, there's other actors you could have gone for that, but I think Terrence Howard really nails this role. I think he really nails this role, and you know, I am looking forward to the future of Empire because I'm not a big fan of R&B and swing and soul, and the music itself that is one of the mainstays of this series, but you don't have to be. This series, you'll watch it for the relationships, for the dialogue, for the drama, is really good on those fronts. It's basically, imagine Game of Thrones in the music business, and you've got something like Empire. Everybody is making a play for that power. Everybody wants a piece of the pie.
See, I do like my nice, like, bit of Machiavellian plotting going on.
Oh, God, yeah, there's loads of it in this. And some of it's really, really devious. Some of it's really devious. You know, some of it deserves to be in, you know, in a Shakespearean play, or actually as part of history. But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll have to give that a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it's not for everybody. You know, let's just make that clear. It isn't for everybody. But for those people who are willing to give it a try and keep an open mind, you'll find something there to enjoy. So, yes, I think we have reached the end of the show. We were going to talk about the Emmy nominations, but...
Yes, but then we kind of got distracted by our tangents.
Yeah, we'll save the Emmy nominations for last week. Next week, even.
I'll get the time travel device.
But yes, I have been Rob.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all again next week for more On The Box, when we will hopefully have a fully recovered Andy, who won't be gyrating or gasping for breath while he tries not to die from laughing. And we might even have a Jordan as well.
If we're very lucky.
Yes, and Owen, unfortunately, is in Scotland. So hopefully he's nice and cozy and not wearing a kilt, so he gets breezy. So yes, there you go, Owen. Have fun in Scotland. Anyway, I've been Rob.
As you've already said.
Did I?
Yeah.
Brain gone.
Afraid I'm no good at word speak time now.
No. Bye.